meet you there. Bless Jesus. Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need it every hour. Protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, oh my.
Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Let's all stand. Sing his song. I just want to take a little bit of time. We got about three more minutes here before we change over the service. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, the whole world is born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Yes, the whole world roams in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the whole world is born in darkness, and he gave us a light to see. That's just how he loves you and me. Amen. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, you're working at this and you're running at that. You're so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running about that. You're so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Comes right down, praise the Lord with all of your might. Praise him. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. To listen to this. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children getting ready. They're getting ready. Well, the train's at the station, I want to go home. We got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station, I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Whistle and singing, only believe. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Amen, amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
We got to take a little time out for him, amen. Give him all the time you can, amen. Being with him at all times. Yeah. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Jesus, I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love.
You this evening. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to sing. Amen. Is that good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking forward to that day when all this technology will go away, will be a thing of the past. Praise the Lord. And we won't have to deal with it. Amen. We can travel like a thought. And not have to worry about and have eternal fellowship and not have any of these other things to deal with. Amen. And I believe it won't be long. Amen. So praise the Lord that I can say I've made my reservation by God's grace. He's extended it to me. Be ready to go. Amen. Well, God bless you this evening. We're going to look right into the scripture and we look into 1 Samuel, first chapter, and begin verse 4, and see when they bring it up. Tonight I got a little interesting thought. I don't know if kind of odd. I want to speak about bitterness tonight. But you know, any of the ministers knows one thing. You can have about a half dozen ideas, thoughts, and they're in different stages of completion. And so the Lord give you a thought, and you work on it for a little bit, and you set it on the shelf, and you work on it, and you get a thought. And sometimes it's just a scripture, and the Lord give you a quote or something, you put it aside. And so I was sitting there, well, you know, I just kept thinking. I was trying to find the mind of the Lord, and for some reason it just kept coming back to this. And I'm thinking, I don't understand why. But, you know, It's not our job to figure things out. Our job is just to listen, just follow the leadership of the Lord. So I think the Lord gave us something tonight. So we're just going to speak to the author tonight. We're going to just read the scripture. I don't think I'll be here very long tonight, but that's all right. You know, Lord, just speak what he has for us, and we don't have to be here. You know, but we do want to give him his opportunity, his time. So, you know, We don't have to have St. Paul. Although Brother Bram said, you know, good 4-hour sermon's good, but you know, it's okay to preach 45 minutes too. And but just the Lord have his way with us tonight. So I don't get everybody get nervous, you know. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. I know all everybody has. I think about all the people on the prayer list downstairs and the different ones, and I continue to pray for Brother Hal and the different ones, and I just believe God's going to work a miracle, whether we see it or not. And that's what God says. We're just going to put our trust in Him and claim the word, because you know what He said, if we would believe, He would do it. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Father, we just so thankful, Lord, to be in Your house again tonight. Lord, together around Your word. Lord, You brought us to this place, Lord, that we have this opportunity. Lord, we see so many things in our life, Lord, in the daily life, Lord, that there's hindrances and different things, Lord, but Lord, You help us get here tonight and get over things. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we're able to be here tonight. And Lord, we just pray that You just come speak to us tonight through Your word. Lord, just anoint each one. Anoint me, Lord, to speak. And Lord, just anoint each one to hear. Lord, let us receive from You, Lord. Let it not just be another service, Lord. We say these things. But Lord, we want to come and we see the hour being late. Lord, we want to redeem the time. God, help us to be what we need to be in this hour. And Father, for each one that has a need, Lord, the prayer list, I think of all the ones, Sister Mary and Sister Johnny, and Brother Hal, different ones, Lord. Lord, we still hold them up every day. Lord, Your hand's not too short. Lord, we still claim their healing. And we bind with them, Lord, to uplift them, to help each one. Lord, the hands that have been raised today in this service, Lord, You know what's on each heart, each life, Lord, whatever the needs are. Lord, we just commit them to You. Lord, we just know that You take care of them. Lord, You said for us to cast all our cares upon You, for You care for us. And Lord, we just so thankful, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Lord, we just commit this service into Your hand. We pray for the bride around the world, Lord, Your fivefold ministry, Lord, that is standing and proclaiming the truth. Lord, we just pray that You continue to strengthen them, Lord, and just anoint them for this journey. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we have a part to do. And Lord, whether it's small or little or insignificant, Lord, we just want to be faithful to what You've called us to. Lord, we just commit all things. We just want to say that we love You tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just want You to have Your will and way with us tonight in this service. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4 says, I cut some of this out because most of you know the story. This is about Hannah. And Elkanah was her husband, and Peninnah was his other wife. So just to save time, I cut some of that out because I think most everybody kind of knows the story. So, but it says when the time was that Elkanah offered, so he would go to Shiloh and make his offerings. He gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughter's portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And I want to speak on bitterness and the definition of bitterness. Of course, we know it's a state or a condition of being bitter. And it says, of people or their feelings or behaviors, angry, hurt, or resentful because of one's bad experiences or a sense of unjust treatment. Often used for emphasis, painful or unpleasant to accept or contemplate. Because lots of times people get bitter, and it's not that they feel like they've been treated bad. They just can't process the situation that they're in. And so that creates bitterness in people. And we see here that Hannah, you know, knowing the story, you know, here's Hannah. And, you know, here's a woman that has a great desire to be a mother. You know, she wanted a child. And you know, it's one thing to have a desire for something and to know that's what God created you for. I mean, she was a woman. She was designed and created to be a mother. That was one of her callings in life. And here she is. She has this great desire. But the scripture tells us, you know, that God closed up her womb. Well, you know, it's like if you had a great desire to do something and God stops you, and then, you know, then on top of that, you know, here is Penina, you know, her adversary. That's what struck me. Here's your adversary. And she comes, and every time she gets an opportunity, she's poking you. She is stirring this thing up. She knows what your problem is. And every time she comes, and then she's just trying to stir it up. Now, you can imagine that every time they get together, I'm sure that she never passed up an opportunity to give Hannah grief about this. Every time the children were by, if Hannah was in earshot, she made sure that Hannah got to hear all about it. And every time she could do whatever she could to make Hannah feel bad is exactly what she was doing. She was just stirring, as we say, the pot. She's all the time causing havoc, causing her grief. And here she is, you know, and she's all the time praying to God for a child. You know, she has this desire, but God closed up her womb. And many times, you know, we don't understand why God allows things happen in our lives. But, you know, we have a great desire to do something for God. And we want to do something for God. And yet God stops us from doing it. God doesn't make a way. And it's like, well, why would I have this desire to do this if I can't do it? And so, you know, it does create a bitterness. It creates I hate to say the word, but I mean, it's like, it's almost a hatred. You get to the point sometimes when you can't do something and it doesn't work out, you become to resent this desire that you have. So here you are, you're struggling with this because you're trying to, because, you know, why would God give you this desire, but then he stands in your way? And here you are, I want to do this. Well, see, the thing is many times we get to the point sometimes where, as I was thinking about where Brother Dale's always talked about people when they get sick, and you see people that they get sick, and the first thing they want to do is like, well, no matter how bad the doctor's report is, they want to say, well, I'm healed. And they want to walk in that for a while until the next report is worse than the first. Then they begin to waver in their faith. Because they begin to waver in that faith. Then when the next one comes and it's even worse, then it's like, well, you know, I may pass away for the glory of God. Well, maybe this is not for me. Well, maybe God's trying your faith. So maybe when everything gets worse, then maybe God wants you to look to see, are you going to stand and claim his word, or are you going to just start to waver in what you believe? Because, you know, if you don't have a revelation of something, because you know what, we all have to take it by faith, by a mental faith, a mental conception. That's where it starts. You've got to read the word, and you've got to take it into your mind, and you've got to make a mental thought. Not a revelation from God, but it's got to be a mental thought in your mind that you're going to believe that. Because Brother Ram said, most of our faith is mental faith. But he said, you've got to bring the word to your mental faith. He said, until it becomes a spiritual revelation. So then you've got to hold on to what God said. So you've got to hold on to that and say, well, no matter what, whichever way the winds blow, whichever way, whatever happens, then you can say, well, you know what? I didn't believe the first report. And so when it gets worse, I'm not going to believe the second report. And if it gets worse, I'm not going to believe. Why? Because I didn't believe the first two. Why? Because if he is my healer and he healed me from all my diseases, whatever comes, then you know what? If he raised Lazarus, who was 4 days in the grave and he was rotten and his nose fell in, if God can raise him up, then you know what? If I've got something and I'm still breathing air, then you know what? God is more than able to raise me up. But the problem is are you going to claim it? I tell everybody, I still love that because, you know, I still talk about Brother Dick and... You know, I was praying for Brother Dick when he had cancer, and the Lord dropped in the truck that day, and he told me, he said Lazarus was 4 days in the grave, and then you know it just struck me. It's like, well, praise God, you know, and it just gave me a whole new outlook, because you get so burdened with things, and it's like, you know what, I had a brand new outlook on it. Hey, God's more than able. You know what? I just give it to God. I'm not going to worry about it, because God's a healer. And he's the one that's going to, he's a problem solver. He's a burden bearer. So he's going to take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it. Because you know what? I've prayed about it and I've put it in his hands and he's securely got it. But see, here's Hannah. Every time she's praying and she's desiring this child, and all of a sudden, every single time that she comes, then every day, every year, the same thing happens. She's carrying this burden of trying to have a child, and she's got somebody there that's standing there harassing her and always there in front of her trying to stop her. And here, you know, she got to the point where she couldn't eat. She was so upset about everything. Well, you know, it was no wonder, you know, this Penaya, she was just eating this up. She was just living. And you know, there's people, you know, we don't want to believe it, but you know, God puts people in your lives, and that's all they're there for. Amen. The script, the song says, foes may oppose me, friends may beset me, but still I'll enter in. You know what? You got friends that they're your friends, but you know sometimes they're like Job said, they're physicians of no value. Yeah, right. They're there, but you know what? They're there just to cause you problems. And you know sometimes the problem is when we see things come our way, you know what? We don't look and say, you know, God, this is good. This is for my good. Right. Every single day we get up and say, you know, praise God, this is for my good. Well, you know, after a while, as Hannah having this desire, you know, after a while, it probably she couldn't get up and say, this is for my good. So many, because sometimes you wake up and, you know, it's just like, it's all you can do to get out of bed. And somebody asks you, how you doing? I'm doing great. And then you want to go find a closet or some place to hide so you can cry. Because, you know, when you sit down and you actually get before God, you know, you realize, hey, I'm not well. I'm not right. I'm so burdened and I'm so distraught with this. I don't know what to do. You know, everybody, you know, sometimes you talk to people and, you know, everything's so great and, you know, they never have problems or anything like that. Or, you know, we think they don't. And, You know, I always like to say, you know, if everything's going good for you, you pray for me. Because, you know, I was thinking about like what Brother Diggs was saying. You know, he identified himself as Job. All the problems that he's went to, and you get through one, and you got another problem. You get through that one, you got another problem. So everybody said, well, you know, Brother Brown never told us that we was going to have a mountaintop. Everybody wants a mountaintop experience. Mount Transfiguration, Mount Carmel, and all that. But he said, but in the valley is where you grow. That's where you really grow. He said, that's where you find the lily of the valley is in the valleys. You've got to go through those hard times. You've got to go through the toils. But God has a place for us. Here, picking up in 1 Samuel, reading the rest of the chapter here, or part of it, 1 Samuel, beginning at verse 12, and it says, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. But Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Therefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I asked him of the Lord. Amen. And you know, I want to look at, it's so interesting because, you know, I was thinking about what Brother Wade was talking about the other day. He's like, every time people have problems, the first thing they do is they leave. You can't find them. They leave church, you know. But you know what was so funny, what was so interesting, and I thought was so good, was Hannah and all of her struggles and all of her problems and all of this that she was going through. The first thing that she does when she leaves everybody else, and everybody else has had a good time, they've ate and they've drunk and they're having resting and all these other things. But you know what she does? She goes to the temple. Amen. She takes off ahead of everybody else, goes by herself. Because she's going to pour out her petition before God. And you know, she goes there because she went there for the express purpose of getting an answer from God. I believe that she was there, that she was expecting God to meet her need, that she came and she began to pour it out. And you know, when you get in the presence of God as a, you know, when and you begin to pour out your petition before God, when you get into a place where, you know, you're not worried about what everybody else is doing. You're not looking around to see what else is going on, but it's just you and God. As that song, you know, shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit beholding His face. You know, when you get into a place where it's just you and God, then, you know, then she got into a place where Eli thought she was drunk. But you know what? She was in a place where it was just her and God. God, she was pouring out, and she said, I've poured out my soul because I'm so burdened, and I'm pouring out my complaint before God. Amen. Why? Because I've carried this all I can do. I'm just so completely wore out from this. I'm just so empty that I'm coming before God, and I'm just going to pour myself out. But you know what was so amazing? When she began to tell the priest, when she began to tell the minister of her problem, she come in and poured it out, and then she began to tell the minister. Then you know what? Then the minister began, Eli began to minister to her. When you come to the house of God and you pour out your petition, that's the reason Brother Branham said, when we come here, he said, if you have a need on your heart, he said he's obligated to put somebody behind the pulpit to answer your question.
It's not whether it's in my notes, but you know what? It's if it's in his mind, he can put it in my mind so I can speak it. And it's every time anybody comes, whether it's Brother Bob, Brother Luis, or whatever, if you come here, then God's obligated. Sometimes we fail to realize, you know, it doesn't matter. We could be riding in the car. God, if we pray, if we pour out our petitions before God and lay it before God, then, you know, he's obligated to meet our needs. He's obligated to come and speak. But, you know, there's a way that you do that God can come and speak. I was thinking of Brother Branham there when he was talking about the young girl that he said that was going to be healed and she passed away. And, you know, he come to God and he said, you owe me an answer. Why? Because he said that she was going to be healed and she died. And he's like, and you know, God just let him sulk. Just turn him out and just let him go. And let him go through that for a while, just riding along on that. He said he never did, you know, and it just stuck with him. Why did you say this? And why did she, I saw all this, and she was going to be healed and everything. And then all of a sudden, she died. Well, you know, when he got over that, and the Lord let him sit on that for a while, and mull it over, and get over his chip on his shoulder or whatever. Then the Lord come and told him, said, listen, that girl should have died a year ago. Amen. But he said, I gave her grace for her to get ready. Amen. For her to be saved. Amen. And now it's her time to go. Amen. See, God doesn't owe us an explanation. Amen. You know, God doesn't have to tell. You know, it'd be wonderful if God told us everything. You know, if God, you know, if we knew what was going to happen tomorrow and what was going to happen the next day, and you know, every time everything, you know, we just had to answer. You know, man, it'd be great. But you know what? There's no overcoming in that. There is no overcoming in that. Then you know, because you got to walk by faith. So you got to put your trust in Him and walk by what He says. If you already knew what was going to happen, then you know, then there's no overcoming. Then you're just being pushed along. But you know what? When you've got to pour out your heart and your soul to God, and you've got to put your trust in Him and say, well, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know what? I'm just going to trust you, and I just see this seems like the best way to go. I think about Brother Branham all those times where he was out there and he said, you know, I got this stack of invitations to go here and there and preach and all these different things. And he said, I don't know. He said, I'm just going. He said, because they've asked me and I'm going. He said, I got no certain leading of the Spirit to do any of these things, but he said, we're just going. But he said, you know, sometimes the Lord did speak to him and say, hey, you need to go here. You need to go there, do this. So lots of times, you know, we don't have a you know, God don't write it in the sky for us and tell us, hey, we're going to do this, or you know, you got to do this. Sometimes you just got to go. You got to live your life, and you got to walk by faith. And so, you know, it's not where, you know, we could just sit on the couch or sit in a chair, stare at the walls, and you know, and not do anything. But you know, that's not what God wants us to do. And sometimes, you know, we got to take things because God wants us to kind of work these things out. And all of a sudden you start doing things, and all of a sudden then God starts, He starts pointing you in different directions about things.
Amen.
So we have to follow the leading of the Lord. Yeah. Now, you know, when you think of this, where you have to, you walk in bitterness, and you know the other person in the scripture I think of when you think of having somebody that was bitter about things and walking and having a journey was Naomi. You know, I was thinking about how Naomi and her husband. You know, she had two sons and two daughter-in-laws. Well, she had two sons. They went down. You know, hey, there's a famine in the land. Hey, this is, so you know what? We're going to leave the land of promise. Because you know what? We got to go eat. Now, we're not going to stay in the land of promise because that's where God told us to stay. Because we got to go feed our bellies. Yeah. We're not going to follow the word, but we're going to walk in. We're going to follow what we think. Now, if we follow what God said, then they should have stayed in the land of promise, even though there was a famine.
Right.
But you know what? God would have brought them through because He did. Now, there's one thing that we can do when we don't have any specific word. Then, you know, we just kind of walk by faith.
Amen.
But, you know, it's interesting how people, they say, I got a word from the Lord, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here. And, you know, when you get there, it's like, well, you know, that's against the word. You know, it's in black and white and red.
Yeah.
Just like people say, well, you know what, I'm going to work a job, and I'm going to work on Sunday, and I'm going to give the money to the missions or whatever. Or whatever, you know, whatever they want to do. Or I'm gonna leave this church and I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna do these things. And you know, it's like, well, put it in the word. The problem is they can't put it in the word. And then all of a sudden, you know, as you know, you can talk to people. I had a minister one time, and this lady had went around and she wanted to get remarried. And she went around talking to all these ministers, and everybody kept telling her, you can't, whatever. She went to this other preacher, and he said, go ahead. And they just about lost their minds when he said that. And he's like, hey, she's going to do it anyway. It's like, now she'll leave everybody else alone, because you know what? She's going to do it anyway. I mean, just go ahead. I mean, if you want to go in the world, go in the world. You know, I mean, If you want to do something, go ahead. Just like Brother Dale said, you know, you come in there and people come in the office or Brother Wade talking about people want to come in the office and they want to, if they don't want your opinion, they're just going to come in there and tell you what they're going to do. Then okay, do it. But they don't come in there to ask you what your thought is. They're just going to tell you this is what I'm going to do. Well then go. You're not asking for the leadership of the Lord. You got a desire, whatever's burning in your heart to do, go. You're not going to help anybody. But you know, I mean, if you try to tell somebody, it's like, just like Balaam. Balaam kept coming to God, wanting to curse the children of Israel. You know what? He finally told him, go ahead. Now, he told him, he said, it was a contrary to the word for him to do that. But you know what? That was Balaam's desire to do that. And Brother Bram said he sent Balaam out there to do that. And so, you know what, if it's your desire, because you know what, if you got a desire to serve the Lord, you're going to serve the Lord. And if you don't have the desire to serve the Lord, you're not going to serve the Lord. If you, because, you know, it's what's on the inside. It's what's going to motivate you. So as we see Naomi as they went into the land of Moab. And you know that well. You know she didn't go to Egypt. She went. They went to Moab, because you know Moab's they're kind of there. You know, it's not they're not out in the world. You know, they're just kind of lukewarm. You know, they're just kind of churchy, but they're not in the world. But they're kind of churchy worldly church. So they got this little, they, you know, they but you know they go down there because you know they still gonna have their religion,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
But you know what? They start getting influenced by the things that surround them.
Yep.
And when you get into situations like that, then people wonder why things always go south on them.
Yeah.
And here they are. They're down there. And away from, way out of their position, away from everything they should be in, and all of a sudden, then they go down into Moab, and they're down there because you know what? Hey, we got to get away from this famine. We're enjoying this. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on down here that we don't agree with, we don't like, but you know what? We're making it. And this is what we're doing until everything goes bad on them. And then all of a sudden, Naomi's husband dies, her sons die, and all she's got is two daughters, three women stranded out of the place of God. And here they are down there, and here they are, widows. And you know, and the first thing that we find out from Naomi in the book of Ruth, you know, she's upset, and she tells her daughters, her daughter-in-laws, you need to go back to your kindred. You need to go back to your country. And here in the scripture, you know, we know that Orpah goes back because, you know, she was not going to follow any of this. You know, just like a lot of people, you know, they're around it for a while. You know, just as Brother Diggs was talking about, you know, they hold on to the word until they get a problem, until the word gets choked out because they got a bad situation, then they're gone. Well, you know, she's there and then she's gone. But, you know, the scripture tells us, this is from Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, and Naomi speaking to Ruth, it says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So now she went back to wherever she got to in God, whatever she got to, whatever she was doing, she went back to what she knew. Why? Because, you know, that was what was in her heart. Because that, you know, hey, I'm going back. I'm enjoying living in the world. I like it. It suits me just fine. But here's Ruth. She says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now listen to her testimony. Whether thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You got to get to the place where you sell out. You got to get to the place you get steadfast. And it says, so they went, the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dwelt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, being which returned out of the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, it's interesting that when you see this, here is Ruth. And whatever background she had coming out of Moab, and we know that was a kind of a lukewarm, kind of half fundamental kind of background. But you know, there was something that stirred in Ruth. Now, when she saw something had to strike her from what she saw, but she told Naomi, she said, listen, no matter where you go, said your God, wherever you're going, I'm going. He said, your God will be my God. Hey, she said, wherever you die, I'm going to die. Whatever goes, he said, we're going to do this together. And you know, and Naomi was so moved by this, you know, she quit trying to talk to Ruth because she understood where Ruth was coming from. But what's so amazing, when she saw this, then they came to Bethlehem, the house of God's bread, in barley season. Amen. But you know, so then listen, when all the city was moved, she came back to where she came from. Naomi came back. Amen. And when she came back in, then everybody said, is this not Naomi? Look, Naomi's here. Yep. But she came back to where she was supposed to be. Amen. She came back into the promised land. Amen. And then when she comes back, then she stands there and she tells them, she said, don't call me Naomi, meaning pleasant. Yep. Right. But she said, call me Mara, which means bitter. She said, because God has dealt very bitterly with me. And then this is her testimony. Now listen, this is Naomi's testimony. She said, I went out full and I've came back empty. And not realizing that in the midst, she has Ruth standing there with her. She said, I went out full and you know what? I came back empty. No, she didn't. She had one that came back with her. Not realizing that she wasn't alone. She had Ruth. And here she is. And then she comes back. And the city comes to her. It's interesting that she comes back to Bethlehem, which is the house of God's bread, in barley season. The time of the harvest. She's coming back into the promised land. Why did she go out? Because of a famine. Here she is, she's coming back where the word is, where the food is, where the barley is. She's coming back, and she's bringing Ruth is coming with her. And she says, I went out full, but I've come back empty. Well, she didn't realize that she didn't come back empty. But I think she got rid of a lot of the things that drove her out. What drove her out of the promised land, it drove her back into Moab. She got rid of that. Because God had to beat all that out of her. All those things had to pass as she came back to her senses to realize where she was supposed to be. When she came back, then she come back into the land of promise. Then she come back and then she walks in and then they begin to speak to her. And she's like, no, I'm bitter. You're blessed. And it's just like when people come out of whatever problems and situations they come to, when you come into the house of God, then you know what? It's not where people come to judge you. It's where people come to put their arms around you, to embrace you and to bring you in, to bring you into fellowship, which is exactly what they were trying to do to Naomi. But she said, I'm bitter. And many times when people come to church and they have problems and the minister is trying to reach out and he's trying to reach and give you something. As Brother Branham says in the message, this is from the Kinsman Redeemer. He says, now then Ruth was asked to do something that was disgraceful, but she was willing because she had made her decision. He said, what a type of the believer. What a perfect type. Naomi, the old church said, go down tonight. It's barley season. Oh, what a beautiful thought. We could hang on right there. Naomi and Ruth just come in at barley season. Barley season was bread season. The season when fresh bread was being served. And the church in this last days, through 2,000 years of pagan teaching and things, has come into at barley season. Freshness of life. New bread. Honey out of heaven. Russell, talk about honey. Crust bread. This is it. Bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but I am the bread of life that comes from God out of heaven. If a man eats this bread, he'll never die. And the church in this last days here is brought in right now at barley season. So here is Naomi and Ruth. They're coming in at barley season. And here is God speaking to them and saying, listen, now's the place for bread. Here's the bread of life. So God is speaking to her and her need. And all she can do is look at her problems and say, I'm very bitter because what's happened. Not realizing she's come back and God is trying to speak to her. Many times we hold on to our problems. And you know, we sing the song, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But you know what? We want to have a part to do with it too. We don't want to give up control. But we come into the house of God and you know what? There's bread from heaven. The manna of God has dropped down. And when he's trying to give it to you, we're too worried about our problems and other things that we're not going to hold on to the word of God. But here she comes. She comes in to this time. And here she is. They bring her in. And we know the story how here she's come in. And, you know, she's... so bitter. She has all these issues. But you know, there's an interesting thing that I noticed. I was reading this in the scripture in Ruth, and you know, Brother Bram talks about having fellowship, and we'll get to it in a minute. But you know, when you look at Naomi, you know, they're not. And if you can find it, you show it to me. I'll be glad to read. But you know, there's no place in the scripture that I can find Naomi's ever with anybody. She comes back in to the land of promise, and the only person you ever see her interact with is Ruth. But you know what, Ruth? Ruth got into the land of promise, and guess what? She ain't laying around. She ain't got her feet propped up. First thing she does, she's out in a barley field. Why? Because you know what? We've come through this famine. We've had all these problems. And guess what? I get in a field and I go out there because you know what? God's law has already provided for me.
Right, amen.
You know, the Old Testament law told him, said, listen, you can't cut the corners out. You can't do all these things. Why? Because the strangers and the poor and everything, they eat from your field and you leave this for them. God had already made provision for them. And here they go out into the field and they start gathering. Here she is out gathering from the field, and she don't even know where she's at. She just knows, hey, I'm a field, and guess what? I've come out of a famine and I'm enjoying this.
Amen.
And listen, here she comes. She comes into this land, and all of a sudden, here's Boaz. Boaz comes on the scene, and Boaz sees her and says, who is this woman? Like he didn't know who it was. If the whole city come and saw Naomi and this other woman come in, I'm pretty sure Boaz knew who she was. But you know, it's so amazing. He comes and speaks to Ruth and says, listen, don't go to any other field. And he tells the young man, he says, listen, the young men have drawn water, you drink all you want. You know, Brother Branham talks to those young men drawing water out as the fivefold ministry. Draw water out. And so later on, Boaz is asking the men about Ruth, you know, they said, well, other than that, she spent a little time in the house. She's been in the field. Because you know what? You can work all you want to, but you know what? It's nice to have a little fellowship. She's out there fellowshipping. But you know what? She's working. She's getting. But you know what he tells him? He said, listen, wherever you see Ruth out there in the field, he said, make sure you leave something. Leave a little word for her.
Amen.
You know, it's not all this gleaning. Guess what? You're going to leave handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
You're going to leave handfuls.
Yep.
Why, here's a little meat in due season.
Amen.
Here's a little meat in due season.
Amen. Right.
Here's a little something for you.
Amen.
A little extra.
Yeah.
Here's Naomi. She's licking her wounds. Ruth's come out of a famine and she's having a blast.
Yep, right.
And you know what? The Lord is watching over her the whole time. See, it's so important to have fellowship.
Amen.
Don't get tied up in things, you know, because you know people they have hard times and different things. But you know what? Don't get out of fellowship.
Amen.
Don't get out of fellowship with God. Don't get out of fellowship with the believers.
Amen.
So you got to come to a place and you got to have the right kind of fellowship.
Amen.
This is from the message, Thirsting for Life. Brother Bram says, you know, some people say I wouldn't belong to one of those full gospel churches. They cry and shout and jerk their hands around and things like that. That's all right. They may act funny, but they've been born.
Right.
They may look like a mess, but they got life. That's the thing.
Yeah.
As long as you got life, ask one of them if he's satisfied. Watch the way he acts, the places he goes. He said, you know, the bird by its habits, a crow and a dove could have no fellowship. Their diet's different. And a Christian can't mix with the world. A crow's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a deceiver. A crow can sit on an old dead carcass and eat all day long and fly out in a wheat field and eat wheat with the dove. But the dove cannot eat wheat. But he can't. But he can't eat the dead carcass. Why? He can't. He hasn't got any gall. He couldn't digest it. And he said that's the way with a Christian. The bitterness is taken from him. He couldn't digest the world, but a hypocrite can live in sin all day long and come into church at night and shout like the rest of them. That's a hypocrite. Now, when you're born again, you don't have to be a hypocrite. You're a new creature, a new creature. The gall of bitterness, the desire of the world is taken from you. Oh, thy loving kindness is better than life, because I long to see thy power like I have seen in thy sanctuary. My soul thirsts after thee like a dry land where no water is. David was a shepherd. He was a woodsman. He knew the action of wildlife. So, I know I was not going to read the rest of it there, but I just love that. But you know, when he talks about the gall of bitterness, you know, a crow and other animals, they can have this gall, a gallbladder, you know, because, you know, that's what it produces. It produces bile, you know, for it to break down. You know, and you got to have that if you go eat all, you know, especially if you're going to eat dead carcass. I like eating some dead carcass. Cooked. That's right. Yeah. You know, somebody was talking about that. Somebody was talking about eating sushi. So. I've tried it. I told him, I said, I like my sushi southern fried.
That's right. Amen.
That's my revelation right there. But you know, I like me some dead carcass, about medium. But you know what? If you eat a lot of that, you're going to need some help. And God give you something to help break that down. But you know what? God didn't. If you're a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, you know what? The desire of the world, you don't have any gall. That gall of bitterness. Because you know, all of that's bitter. And it breaks all that stuff down where you can stomach that stuff. But you know what? If you're a new creature in Christ, you know what? You can't stomach the world. You don't have any desire for the world. Like he said, that crow, now he can be a hypocrite. He can get out there and eat anything and just swallow it all down, but then he can go out there and eat with a dove. But you know what? You're not ever going to see a dove eating that. Out fellowshipping and all of that. It ain't got no part in any of that. And it's the same way with us. You know, when you have been changed, when you've come to this, then you know what? It's time to get rid of all of the bitterness. Because that's not a part of a Christian. To get rid of all of that. God made a way. And if you're born again, then that's gone. Ephesians 4:30 says, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now listen, now this is because I want to read something here in a minute. That, because you know what? Why did Paul say this? Because you know what? You got to be careful. You got to be on your guard. Because there's a time coming that the devil's always got his aim at you. And he's always coming. Now he said, now you're sealed until the day of redemption. But he said, now let all this stuff go. Because that's not part of the Holy Ghost. And he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. So when you can't hold on to resentment. You can't hold on to these things. But you know what? Don't think the devil ain't out there trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you gotta be in fellowship.
Amen.
I want to read from... This comes from the Smyrna Church Age message. 1960. And Brother Brown was talking about, he said, when I first started out as a Baptist preacher, they come around saying, Brother Brown, you got to come over here. And we got it and we carried it over here. He said, neither one of you. I stand right between the two groups, say, we are brothers. Don't care what. I don't care if a man disagrees. That don't make one speck of difference to me. He's still my brother. He said, I got a brother that likes apple pie. Amen. I like cherry the best, but I ain't going to disfellowship him. He can eat his apple pie and I can eat my cherry pie. Now, I like Brother Bram's way of eating. He said, I put calf slobbers on top of mine. If he don't want it, why, he don't have to. You know that, what is it? Whipped stuff they put on, you know, whipped cream. I like whipped cream. I like it. Amen, brother. Getting too old now to eat it. But I that's what I like. And if he don't like it, well, he don't have to eat it. That's all right. I'll eat mine, but he's still my brother. That's right. So I like that. I like fellowship. But when we draw lines like this and say, no, this is our denomination, I won't reach over and shake hands with the next man and say, God bless you, brother. My, that's when you call fellowship. If you don't, you get that root of bitterness, just like the Smyrnans got back there, and you cause the same thing. All right, so their name was bitter. The Smyrnan church age, when they got into that, when they got out of fellowship, then their name was, they were, brother, that God called them bitter because they were out of fellowship. He said, it didn't matter what it was. He said, we're all eating. We're all brothers. We're all going to fellowship. You draw me out to your circle, I'm going to draw mine bigger.
Amen.
Brother Brown talks about in one place where he talks about when you go through and, you know, we come before God and we go in and he said, nursing from El Shaddai, and you begin to draw, and draw in the Holy Ghost. And then he was talking about drawing in meekness and gentleness and all these other things, just drawing all these things in. He said, when you begin to draw all these things in, he said, then God's got a grubbing hoe. He said, he's going to grub out the root of bitterness. We're going to get rid of that thing. When we get in, well, because when you get into fellowship, then you know what? That's God, that's the plan. When you begin to get into the atmosphere of God, get into the Word, and you have fellowship, then you know what? Then God's in there digging all that stuff out. When you're out of fellowship, then you know what? There's a problem.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants us here. He wants us here so we can have fellowship because he's going to get rid of all that stuff.
Amen.
And this is what I wanted to read. This is the one thing that I always go back to. This is from Christ the Mystery. This is the word of the church that most people call the word of the church that Brother Branham reads and when he's speaking in Christ the Mystery. He said, and I didn't read the whole thing, but he said, but you remember that. The enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. The one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. He said, don't never clan among you or talk or make yourself clannish. We are one. I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm not going to take you. I'm going to take you away because you're not my right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Let me tell you, one of the most painful cuts, they say, is a paper cut. And I've had a few of them. May I tell you what? Whew. Send you through the roof sometimes. And it's just a little. I cut my finger washing dishes years ago. Cut the whole end of my finger right there off. And it changes your life. I'm 48 years old, and it's been almost 40 years, and I still remember that. Why it changes? It changes. I want everything to stay where it's at. Even my little tip of finger, I want it to stay there. Even every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another, right with one another. He said, now we got tapes on that. Well, you've got tapes on what we believe. We've got tapes on discipline in the church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit in heavenly places. How we got... He said, how we behave ourselves in the church of God and how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. As Brother Ernie used to say, we're standing on the promises, not sitting on the premises. Don't stay home. I know you were quoting it. I'm going to read it. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you it's time you got to praying. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us to much more as we see the day approaching. To love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know you are my disciples when you have love one for the other. That's right. Stay right together. If the brother you thinks he's a little wrong, or the sister say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up. Because listen to this. I've heard this, but this is what struck me. It'll affect him. It'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here, hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't do that. You just wax that much closer. Take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle, seeing in a vision, just that buckles on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on, tighten up, move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another. Then God will bless you. Don't ever let the root of bitterness come in. Because, you know, if we allow just the little things. Because I want you to look at that. It was the root of bitterness. It wasn't a tree. It wasn't a plant. It's the root. The root of bitterness. Just how small is that? When you let the devil get a foothold, a toehold. That he said, look what it drive the Holy Spirit away. It'll do everything. It'll tear everything up. But you know, Brother Bram said when he was speaking, he said, listen, he said, he'll bring somebody in under the quietness and bring him in, and he'll fellowship with y'all. And he said, he'll shoot him full of deadly poison. And he said, don't take sides with it. Why? Don't allow the devil to have a spot where that root of bitterness will take place. Because you know, I'm here to say I've had issues, Lord. I need that grub hole, Lord. There's been times in my life I still battle things. I want that grub hole to come along. I want him to get all that stuff out. I don't want any malice, I don't want anything that's going to hinder the move of God, or that's going to hinder the work of God. I don't want anything that's going to stop it. Whatever it is, I don't want the root of bitterness. I don't want any of these things. I want these things to have their perfect way, the perfect place. I want it to work just in the perfect plan of God. Everything to have its way. So, and we'll finish here. And we know the story of Ruth, how Boaz comes and, you know, he deals with her and gives her the six measures of barley and all the things that how he comes. And, you know, then when it come time to, you know, he realized that he had to do something. He had to redeem Naomi. And, you know, there was and because of what took place. And so when she lost everything, she had to have somebody, she had to have a near kinsman for redemption. And so, you know, Boaz, he went to the nearer kinsman and told him, said, listen, he said, you can do the rite of redemption. But we know that he didn't want to mess up his inheritance. He didn't want to mess up any of this. So he laid his hands off. He said, the devil didn't want any of that. He didn't want to mess up his kingdom. He didn't want to mess up his inheritance or anything like that. But you know, the one that wanted it was Christ.
Amen.
Christ wanted to redeem Naomi and get Ruth.
Amen.
And here, Ruth chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, it says, and Boaz said unto the elders, because, you know, he knew what he had to do. When Ruth came to him on the threshing floor and came and bowed down, you know, she had a desire for Boaz. And she wanted, and he knew what he had to do to bring her back into full inheritance. And when Boaz goes and says, and said unto the elders and unto the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, which is Naomi's husband, and then that's Orpah's and Ruth's husband,
right,
of the hand of Naomi. So moreover, the Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead.
Amen.
Upon his inheritance. Because that was the Old Testament.
Yeah.
To raise up the name,
yeah,
of the one that was dead.
Right.
To bring them back into their inheritance. That the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses.
Amen.
The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house, like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem.
Amen.
And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, now listen to this, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee. Now, Naomi had her mind on a lot of other things, and she was bitter,
yeah,
because of what had happened. And she didn't see the plan of God, what was taking place around her. And he said, and he shall be unto thee, blessed be the name of which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel.
Yeah.
And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And the name of, I was going, I can't remember. Anyway, I'll look it up. But anyway, I was going to remember what the name of Obed meant. But I forgot. But anyway, But here is this one that Naomi had went through all of this bitterness. And here is all this that took place. And then here is the one that was so close to her. And here's Boaz giving, redeeming Naomi to get Ruth. And here he is bringing a child forth under their inheritance, bringing them back and giving that child to Naomi to raise. It's a beautiful type because, you know, in the Old Testament, the Jews were the ones that brought the gospel to us, to the Jews. And in the last days, this message will come from the Gentiles and go back to Naomi. We'll give back them their inheritance. They will see the seed of redemption. They will see the fullness of redemption. As Obed came and was the fulfillment of the word that came to fill them, Jesus Christ, this message, the word will come back to them and they'll see the fullness of redemption. Amen. God bless you tonight. Appreciate the Lord and serving. Oh, thank you, brother. They're just too good. Amen. They're just too good, I tell you. I appreciate that. How God is so good to us. And I wanted to say Sister Julie's here tonight, so this will be something for Sister Julie. When I preached on Rahab, she was talking about, she said, did you know, or did you have that planned, that when you were talking about Rahab coming through, and then it was on Mother's Day, and then when we got to the end, I said, she was the matriarch of the kings. And I said, yeah, I knew that ahead of time, but I didn't tell that up front because I had to wait to the end to tell that because, you know, it's just like reading a book. You got to get all the way through to the end to find the ending. But, you know, I was talking about Sister Julie, talking about, well, you know, I was thinking about it today, being this is Mother's Day month, and I was thinking about Rahab, bring forth. Rahab brought forth Boaz. And so there's the type of mother being again, because Hannah was one that was barren, but God gave her seed, which was Samuel. He was the one that anointed David. And so we see how Rahab and Ruth was, you know, Salmon. And Rahab brought Boaz. Boaz and Ruth brought Obed. Then it was Jesse. And then David brought forth the kings. And, you know, when we look back over things in our lives and we think it's, we don't understand. And maybe we do have times we have bitterness and things. But you know what? Just hold on. God will make a way. God is on the scene. And if it won't be, I tell you, I promise you one thing. If it don't get right on this side, it'll be right on that side. On the other side, one of these days, it'll be all right. Everything. God bless you tonight. We'll all stand and have the musicians come. And amen. Let's sing that little song. There's never been a day like this day. I don't know what Keeban. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so day, this glorious day.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I sing. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never,
you know, the one that asked
that,
Lord, that our sisters come to get
so
these calls for. Father, you're the one
day
that makes all things well, takes care of all things. You're the answer to every problem. And Father, we send these prayer calls to Thee this morning. Whatever the need may be, Lord, as they receive these, Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit will go and take care of these problems, the situation, Lord. Lord, we know that You'll do it because we ask and we believe. But Father, You said if we would ask, Lord, that You would do it. We bind our faith with our sister, Lord, that You'll come on the scene and meet their need. And we thank You for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This glorious day.
Amen. Got another
one? Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
What a day that will be. Amen.
Amen.
There's coming a day.
Amen. Thank You, Lord.
No heartaches.
Amen. Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness or pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. This is a day, this is a day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord. This is a day, this is a day that the Lord has made.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother Wade's got something to say. We're going to turn it over to him. God bless y'all.
Good job tonight. Good job. Getting gooder and gooder. Amen. We are going to Sunday after second service. We're going to have another baptismal service.
Amen.
We got at least one, maybe two to be baptized. So we're going to have a service right after second service. We'll have a baptismal service. And come expecting.
Amen.
We were expecting six and got 12 on Sunday. So God bless you. Thank you. Bring everything together.
Amen.
Put a stake down.
That's
right. Ruth, put a stake down.
Amen.
It'll change your life.
That's right.
We want life changing.
Amen.
Don't worry about the world changing. We want life changing experiences.
Amen.
Amen. So I believe that there was 12 people got their life changed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
And now water doesn't save you. We know that.
Right.
But boy, it's a good start.
Amen.
It's a good start to get going in your Christian experience. And
right.
And then if you need to be baptized again, then it'll just rejuvenate you. And like Sister Ruth, put that stake down and say, this is it right here.
Right.
Not going to take no more. You're dead.
Right.
And we buried it out there in the water.
Right.
And we left it out there. And we're not going to bring it back. We're not going to raise it back up again. The only people we believe are raising in the dead is saints, not haints. We don't raise haints. We raise saints. Amen. We ain't raising no more of them haints. We're gonna just move on with God. Thank you, Brother Aaron. That was wonderful again. Good job.
Yes.
And just remember, though, after second service, we'll have another baptismal service. So we'll gather out here and have a baptismal service. Josh is going to be baptized and maybe one more. And then we'll just stand in there until anybody wants to get baptized. The water's warm. Everything's good under that roof out there. And it really looked good this weekend to see the people, all of us gathered together and love these people. Love on them. Because you know what the devil's going to do?
That's right.
The devil's going to turn the guns on and start firing.
That's right.
You know what? Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord.
Right.
And as we're being dismissed, let's sing that song, This is the Day That the Lord Has Made.
Remember Saturday.
And remember Saturday at 10 o'clock if you're going to the nursing home. It's on WhatsApp. The address. So just put that address in your phone, Google it, and it'll get you right to the place. And Brother Boyd has so graciously given us all the details of how to get in and all that. So 10 o'clock there that Saturday morning. I think that's the 28th. And just remember the service is on Sunday. So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. You're dismissed. This is a day. This is a day that the